you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Weather outside, frightful. Inside, climate, attendance, delightful. Nick, myself, here in the studio in H-Town. Barry, somewhere in the Riverwalk area of San Antonio.
Somewhere in San Antonio.
We know he's okay.
He's alive.
He's alive. We don't know if he is on the line yet. We're having some issues.
He's not yet. They are still setting up the studio in San Antonio. So,
that should make him so happy.
Yeah, they're waiting on our version of AD. You know, the masterful engineer that does everything over here?
Yes.
They're waiting for their version
of
AD.
And we don't know if their AD is as masterful.
That would be a fact.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. You've tuned into The Usual Suspects. You know how we do it. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. We always appreciate you along for the ride. So we ask you to fasten your seatbelts because sometimes it's sports and sometimes it's not. And a lot of times it's a little salty.
First thing I noticed is the Skeeters jersey that you're rocking.
Broke it out today. Yeah, before I put it away. Skeeters got a win last night. They're in the playoffs and they split the first two games. They're coming home for the rest of the series starting Friday night out at Constellation Field. So I thought I'd show them some love and wear the jersey they were so gracious enough to give me. It's very, very cool. So I like that. First and foremost, Nicholas, I must reach out and give my wife a very special love and anniversary message. I love you, honey. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
As we are celebrating our anniversary today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a miracle we've gotten this far, but we've gotten through a bunch of stuff. And always, that's my best friend, and she is awesome, and I love her. So I'm happy to say that. Now, I do need to tell you, Nick, that Mondays and Thursdays, I shoot videos for SportsMap. So I was with our crack staff, and I mean that. They're fantastic back there. And we were kind of contemplating different topics we were going to do for our video. And I'm not sure you're aware of this or not, but Juggalo Trey is really spreading himself. I can't say thin. He's spreading himself thick because he's getting into every aspect of the business. So now he's kind of interning with our video people. So obviously he does nothing quietly. So he's in there and we're kind of kicking around ideas and he's chiming in things that he needs. And Mike G, who's fantastic, who came to us from the NFL Network, comes out to me and says, Joel, the line of the year, maybe the line of all time, happened today when no one was in here but me and Trey. And I just immediately went, oh boy, this is probably going to be really good. What you got? He's like, so I'm in here by myself, and I'm on the computer, and Trey just kind of saunters in. And all of a sudden, he goes, oh, and then drops a cuss word.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, and Mike's like, what's up? And he goes, my shirt's inside out. I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom. And he just turned around and walked right back out.
And he wouldn't he changed his shirt?
It was the same shirt. He had just put it on
inside out.
So I was like, so when they told me this, I was like, were you in the dark? He's like, well, I didn't really get a lot of sleep last night. I had a hard time getting to sleep. I go, what in the world could be keeping you up at night? You ran out of Pop-Tarts? And he was like, no, I don't even eat Pop-Tarts. I don't know. It was just there, just stuff. I was like, okay. So then we were talking about the fact that we know that Barry and I have been getting like split screened on Twitter last night about who we look like, which I'm not happy about. But in the process, Trey thought I was being compared to Mike Stanton. And I was like, you know, he won a World Series. I said, I think he won two, Trey. So we were talking about it. And he goes, you know, he's on TV now. He does that studio show with Bert Crackler. And all of us, Brandon, Josh, Mike, and myself, we stopped. We're like, who's Bert Crackler? And he was like, well, you know, the guy, oh, come on, the guy that's in the studio. And we're like, MLB Network? And he's like, no, on the Astros games. Kevin Eschenfelter? Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. Bert, we're like, where did Bert come from? I don't know. So now Kevin Eschenfelter is Bert Crackler. And we were like, what do you call Julia Morales? I don't think I even want to know, because he just was coming up with just some of the most random, like, names. And we're just like, the rest of the time, we just kept mentioning Bert Crackler, because he came up with that one and thought that that's who Kevin Eschenfelter was. So there's my Trey story for you, as he was in there when we did the video. So I'm sure you're impressed by that.
I'm sure. Hold on just one second. Hey, the other thing about Trey is that you'll always know that you're going to hear something completely off the rails with him. Yep. He was supposed to be here with us yesterday, but I asked him not to come and postpone it 1 week. But he's still, I'm glad he's still doing his thing, that's for sure. Because he's always got something interesting to say. Now, the Inside Out t-shirt part, oh, that's hilarious.
God. And I said, don't you have a mirror at home? I don't know that would have made a difference. Okay, I don't know why it wouldn't have, but whatever. All right, so we're just getting started. We're going to get Barry on the horn from San Antonio, and we're going to get ready to roll. So we appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Fasten your seatbelts, and we'll take you through till 4. The HRNP listener line is open right now, so you can text that number. You can also call that number, which is 713-780-3776. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the big show. It's the usual suspects on a rainy Tuesday in H-Town. Barry coming to us from San Antonio. I'm sorry. Third bassist in San Antonio. Bill O'Brien here at the helm and Nick at the
Bill O'Blank
controls. It's Bill O'Blank. It's third Barry. And it's Nick.
Nice. Jeez. Yeah, we got to figure out who Nick looks like.
Oh, that's just going to be a field day for people today.
Did you fill the people in on what happened?
No, I was just starting. I made reference to it in the first segment that you and I were getting split-screened and doppelgangered to people.
So someone sent out a picture of you next to Bill O'Brien.
A young Bill O'Brien, by the way. Yeah.
Yes, a handsome Bill
with
O'Brien.
Hair, yes.
And what I'm surprised about is then someone was like, well, you need to get a picture of MC Search for Barry and then put us side by side. But I thought we covered that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because those kinds of pictures have been out there forever. And I almost took one off my Facebook page and posted it and said, if you're going to do it, use the one where I had a flat top like his.
The senior picture.
And then I thought.
Well, use the senior picture that you showed me that you had me buying into was actually you, and it was third base.
and no, the senior picture was me, but when I said this was my headshot, that was actually
yellow,
third base.
Yellow shirt, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I'm surprised that's like a revelation to a lot of people. I figured for sure. And by the way, if you really wanted to, like, that doesn't bother me because I know I look like that dude. If they wanted to hurt my feelings, they should have put me next to, like, Ed Helms from The Hangover. He was the Nard Dog on The Office.
Yeah, it made
that would have stung more. Or Aaron Hernandez.
Well, mine stung
because
my chin doesn't look like a Virginia. So without it,
but
yeah, one or the other. But either way, it's not flattering. I was like, I got a sexy chin. I'm not talking about this. Virginia loves butts chin. No.
I'm gonna take a picture of Nick and put it in Google image search and see what happens.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Nick, you have to send me a picture of yourself.
Not gonna happen.
No, you have to.
Not gonna happen.
Listen, I'm requesting my producer.
You can get it right off of Twitter. You can get it off of
Oh, that's true.
Facebook. You can get it off a lot of different places.
I could go to Dumb People Meet and grab it off his profile.
Did you hear the first segment?
I heard a little bit about Juggalo Trey when I was Bert on the phone
Crackler.
With Nick.
He thinks the host of AT&T Sportsnet's baseball is Bert Crackler, not Kevin Eschenfelter.
Who is Bert Crackler?
No idea. We all said it at the same time. I'm in there shooting the video. And by the way, the first part of it was when Mike G told me that Trey walked in this morning. He's interning there. And no one else was in the studio but him and Mike. And he looked at Mike and he went, oh, and we'll just say crap. He goes, oh, crap. I'll be right back. My shirt's inside out. And just turned around and walked right out.
That's such a Trey thing
to do. And I was like, do you not have a mirror? And he's like, I don't think that would have helped me. I had a rough night. I couldn't go to sleep. I said, what, you ran out of Pop-Tarts?
He was up all night having the sex.
With who?
Exactly.
Good Lord.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so we were trying to figure out who Bert Crackler was. And he's like, you know, the guy that does the studio with Mike Stanton. And we were like,
oh, my God.
Kevin Eschenfelter is not Bert
not
Crackler.
Not even close. I Google Bert Crackler. I don't even know if that's a real person.
I pretty much think it's not.
Yeah, that doesn't come up at all. He's Trey's on crack, but I don't know who Bert Crackler is. All right, so I'm going to get a picture of Nick. We're going to figure out who he is. But, yeah, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on Twitter. Yeah. With our doppelgangers. And no, I don't really think you look like Bill O'Brien that much. A little bit. Listen, above the chin, there's some similarities. But
Trey called me Mike Stanton, for God's sake.
Oh, my God, no. Jeez. Listen, but I will say that there are similarities. Not nearly as much as me and MC Search. I realized that MC Search and myself could probably pass for
you just
brothers.
Gotta grow your hair out.
Yeah, that's true. But he doesn't have it anymore. We both have the same haircut now, too. It's really weird.
Oh, I haven't seen him recently.
He has very short hair, and he's fat. So, yeah, we look a lot alike. It's
you're not fat, bro.
Stop it. You're just saying that just to make me feel better, Joel.
Someone's got to, because the people watching and listening and tweeting aren't, so.
No. So, I know you were going to ask me how it went last night.
How'd it go last night?
They canceled the show.
Again?
Yeah, it
sucks.
You know, when you're a big-time headlining comedian, this is the things that happen.
So you had no show yesterday.
So you had less people than the people at the festival?
You know what? The festival was winning by one. I think 8 people showed up last night.
Wow.
And I saw 9 the entire week at the festival.
Damn.
But, yeah, 8 people showed up to a room that holds, like, 400.
And you still get paid, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you know what? Normally my ego would be crushed, but we've covered this before. I've had shows cancel here,
yep.
And I wasn't the headliner. So I'm not, and it was on a Wednesday, so I'm not all that devastated. Now, I am going to try to finagle my way onto the ESPN radio station here, either today or tomorrow, to promote
the
show.
Oh, because this is the one where that girl that you were staring at, that you were, like, stalking.
No.
It was this
that
studio.
That's Dallas, I believe.
I keep confusing San Antonio and Dallas.
Also not stalking, so don't make it sound like I'm weird and creepy, all right? I was just like, yo, there's this chick here, and I can see her. And then our listeners and you dicks made it weird.
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about. And Dick's Last Resort is not open anymore in San Antonio, is it?
You guys made that weird, not me, all right?
I would say our listeners did. All we did was we threw the slow pitch softball out there, and they started swinging for the fence.
I saw her profile pic, man. You were staring at her through the glass. Don't act like you weren't checking her out.
Beady eyes with those glasses.
Listen, I don't do that. I'm 44 years old, and I've been married for 20 years.
Spit on the window.
What?
When you were looking through the production window
That's
at her.
Weird.
Like,
why would you spit on the window? What are you into, Joel? No, not that at all.
Hi.
What's your name, young lady?
I'm funny. I do comedy.
You ever seen anybody do a radio show without a shirt on?
Me either.
No, that wouldn't be me. Yeah, me either.
Me either.
My co-host is chicken. He won't do it. So uneventful drive, unfortunately. Not a lot of fun last night.
What time did you leave? Right after the show?
I mean, bolted, yeah. Got on the highway, got here.
So how was traffic?
Typical. I mean, typical bad I-10, doesn't matter where if you take the HOV or not, or the toll or not. It's all bad. It's all really bad. But I decided I didn't want another ticket, so I put the cruise control on 75 and just made it.
Well, that's good.
So I wish I had a funny story for everybody, but yeah, sorry. It was just an uneventful drive for me. and night, which, you know what, for me, I know you guys revel in the details of a terrible incident happening to me, but sometimes it's nice to come in and not have a story for you, because then it means nothing weird happened to me.
Well, were you listening to Books on Tape in a wife beater tank top and your Daisy Dukes and no shoes?
No, I wasn't all Kevin Federline driving out here.
B-Fed, that'll be the next split screen.
Barry Federline?
Yeah.
Dude, somebody compare me to him on game day once. They're like, bro, you look like a fat Kevin Federline. I was like, damn, how fat am I? If you call me a fat, that's like saying you look like a fat Oprah. Or it's like, that's not nice. Kevin Federline's already fat, so if you're saying I look like a fat Kevin Federline, that's even worse.
Well, now you're getting Fred Armisen.
No, I see. No, don't just try to be funny. Try to make it where it actually works. Like Aaron Hernandez, acceptable. Ed Helms, acceptable. MC Search, okay. Kevin Federline, I got you. But that dude, that the one you just said, no, we don't look anything alike. Just because we have dark, short hair. Stop reaching.
Is all texting, no tweeting. I don't know if you see this or not, but he tweeted us the picture, and I don't know the split screen if that is the actual third base now or maybe that is Ed Helms. I don't know. There's curlers in their hair though, so you need to look at that.
That does look like me. Good Lord.
I don't know who that is.
That looks like a picture I took on the road.
Chris Householder, nice try. Not even going to go there. Trying to find a doppelganger for Nick.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
He does look like an actor. He does kind of look familiar.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it is.
You guys are reaching. That's
I think
not
that
good.
Guy does gay porn.
But I am going to take.
I was waiting for it. I swear I was waiting for something. I didn't expect gay porn, but I was waiting for something.
I meant soap operas. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
Yes.
I'm going to take this. But I appreciate Chris Householder for finding me a picture of Nick to use in the Google searches.
Oh, see? Nick.
I don't even know where that.
Obviously, there's a banner behind. You know what that was? That was one of when Barry brought a comedian in or someone was in the studio
and
we did
took
a picture.
A pic. Yeah, that's probably right.
Right,
that's
exactly
right.
When that was. All right, we got a call that you guys probably want to handle. Tony wants to get in here. He's got a UFC question. Tony, what's up?
How are you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What up?
Oh, I just wanted to ask if you guys are going to be watching that UFC 229 press conference today. But more importantly, I guess John Jones had a went to arbitration with USADA or something, and he got a 15-month sentence versus the 2 years. And I thought it was a minimum 2 years after a second or third infraction. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I saw something about that, but I don't know. The only thing I've seen was one line that said John Jones snitched, and I don't know about what, so I need to catch up on that.
Yeah, I do too. In regards to the press conference, I believe it's at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, so it's kind of like right when we get off the air. So,
because he's eligible to fight next month, right?
Who?
John Jones?
I don't think so.
I found an article that said that he's eligible to fight next month.
That'd be awesome. I would love for him to get back in the ring because they need him to get back in the ring. Like I said, I'm not completely updated as to – because a lot of those John Jones updates happened right before the show. But, yeah, in terms of the press conference, just remember, Connor's on probation, so I don't know how crazy he can get.
I think it'll be wild. I think it'll be a lot of bleep talking on Connor's part to keep this hype train going for the fight. I think – Khabib is going to be pretty reserved. He'll probably have a lot of one-liners, and you know, I think it's going to be their personalities are going to be magnified, but not. I don't think you're going to see any scuffles necessarily. Maybe a little shoving, but nothing like what we saw on the bus. Nothing like Jones Cormier where they tackled each other on the stage. I don't think there's going to be any of that yet. Now it doesn't mean that there won't be down the road. But right now, I think that they're just trying to get this. You don't want to shoot your shot right up front, and you want to. This is going to be a slow build. Now, by the time that it rolls around at weigh-ins, if pre-buys aren't where they want, yeah, there might be some scuffles and some tackles and stuff like that. But right now, I think they're just going to slow build it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it though.
Oh, me too. I think it'll be good. Now, here's the deal with the John Jones things. I found an article from MMA Junkie where they talked about him snitching. It said after more than a year with no official decision on a final punishment, Jones's case went to arbitration. He got 30 months knocked off his potential suspension for his, quote, substantial assistance under Section 10.6 of the USADA anti-doping policy and ended up with a 15-month suspension, just 3 months more than he received for his last violation.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so he basically started snitching, and he got a lot of – he cooperated, I guess, and got a lot of time knocked off. So, yeah, I think you're right, Joe. I think he's eligible here in the next couple of weeks or so, or a month or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you guys would have some commentary on that because I wasn't aware of that, but I know that you guys have mentioned in the past. And I was curious to see if you think that he can resurrect the career one more time.
It says it looks like he would be able to fight UFC 230 November 3rd.
Okay. See, Brett Favre's Brett Favre's big on Conor.
What's that?
Brett Favre came out. He's a big Conor guy. Says Conor's going to beat Khabib.
Surprise there. But, hey, if you want to – go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
I'm sure it's pretty split. There's a lot of Conor fans. There's a lot of Khabib fans. But, yeah. But go ahead.
I think Conor is more hype than function. I think that anybody that follows MMA probably betting on Khabib because of – I think he's just a better fighter. But – we shall find out. But if you wanted to bet on this, guys, I think I know what you could do. In fact, I know what you could do. You could use my bookie. Football's here. There's always tons of sports to bet on. Why aren't you getting in on the action with my bookie? Make it more interesting. Whatever your sport of choice is, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, UFC, boxing that we just had, maybe it's even horse racing. I heard Fred say you can even bet on the horses on my bookie. How cool is that? Remember, who you're betting on is important, but it's also important who you bet with. That's why you need to get with my bookie. They are the online destination to get in on action on any game. Safe, reliable. They've been around for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why Fred recommend them. There's a ton of folks out there on my bookie because of those reasons. And one of the biggest reasons you should use them, they win. You win, they pay. That's it. You win, they pay. You get your money. A lot of these places, man, it's a struggle to get paid. Not with my bookie, man. They also have a lot of cool stuff you can do. They've got in-game live betting. They've got a lot of player perks, some of the best player perks, most rewarding player perks in the business, by the way. And if you're a fantasy dude, and most of us are, you guys are always hitting us up with the fantasy questions, you can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So here's what you do. Just go to mybookie.ag. It's real simple. Mybookie.ag. If that's not coming up, just Google search it. Mybookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. Use promo code radio. They'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. You heard that right. Promo code radio. They'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Just hit them up, mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's in San Antonio. Nick and I are here. Plenty for you. Jeff Blum, by the way, Nick, should be on the agenda to be joining us here shortly. So we need to get Jeff Blum on the phone because he's here. And then 2:30 is our normal segment with Sigmund Bloom. Yep. So I know that we're going to have plenty of fantasy football questions. So like we always do and we always tell you, you can text us or tweet us your fantasy football questions ahead of time and we will stack them and rack them. If you do want to call, as we get to the break leading up to 2:30 at the midway point of the show, we will give you one final reminder. That's when you call so that you can be on the air with Sigmund Bloom and ask questions.
Fair word. Enough. Get them in. Get them in now. And what I do is if you guys start texting now, 713-780-3776, just text your fantasy questions. I mark them and save them for that segment. So it's not like they're forgotten. And we go in order. So if you text them now, we're good to go.
Sweet. Hey, without further ado, by the way, the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Blum, joining us now on an off day. We really appreciate that. You know him from AT&T Sportsnet as he and Todd Kalas entertain you every single night with Astros baseball. Blummer, we appreciate you joining us. Great follow, by the way, on Twitter. So check him out at Jeff Blum. That's G-E-O-F-F. And Blummer, first question I got for you, aside from what happened last night, is we've been kicking it around here quite a bit. When you look at the pitching staff and the playoff roster and decisions that have to be made, How do you see that shaking out with – there's some decisions to be made when you talk about the likes of Davinsky and Peacock. The two young kids have thrown the ball really well. And how that kind of parlays to how many pitchers do you think A.J. is going to carry? And do you think Max Stassi is going to be on that roster, or is he only going to carry two catchers in Gattis?
My gosh, it's good to be on with you guys. And usually you kind of fluff me up a little bit instead of just throwing me right into the fire with all these postseason predictions and things like that.
Well, Blummer, we're going to get to Burt Crackler later, but we got to get to business first.
I hear you. I hear you. No, those are good questions. I think the starting rotation we know is going to be very good no matter how I think AJ uses it. That bullpen is going to be interesting. And I think it got even more interesting with Josh James showing up, because some of the names that you've mentioned, Devo, Peacock coming back, hasn't looked extremely sharp. Davinsky hasn't looked sharp. A lot of pitches being left out over the plate. And some of the velocity might be an issue. The action on his changeup might be an issue. Tony Sipp has shown flashes of brilliance. But in some higher leverage type situations, the ability to throw the strike might be a little bit of an issue. So I don't know how that's going to go forward. But, I am very fortunate that I get to sit here and talk to you guys, because I know A.J. Hinch and a lot of the people in the front office are going to be offering a lot of opinions for A.J. Hinch. And what A.J.'s got to do is take what he sees on the field and what he feels and try and match it up with what the analytics are saying, because it's going to be a tough choice. We know the back end with Osuna and Presley, and I think Rondon, even though he had a rough outing the other day, and maybe even Joe Smith in the back end of that bullpen will be solid. But after that, it's kind of up for grabs right now.
Hey, so tell me, Jeff, how impressed were you with Josh James's outing the other night?
Extremely. And we put up a graphic yesterday talking about him and Framber Valdez. I think it shows a lot of faith that the organization has in these two guys just to be contributing factors here down the stretch, because they're giving them starts against quality teams like the Seattle Mariners, and they're trying to clinch. So it's kind of playoff atmosphere like for these guys and situations for these guys. And I think that AJ and Brent Strom want to see how these guys react. For me, the ERAs are pretty similar, but for me, the deciding factor is the ability to throw strikes. And Framber Valdez has a little bit of an issue with that.
Yeah.
It's probably because he has a ton of movement and he's still trying to harness it. But Josh James throws strikes, throws 100-plus miles an hour when he needs to, can go multiple innings, and he's a right arm. And there's a lot of big right-handed bats in the American League that are going to be in the playoffs that he might match up well against. I'm very impressed with what Josh James has shown me.
So that's the good, Blummer. I'm not going to say bad, but I'm going to say concerned. The other side of the equation, Dallas Keuchel. Again, last night, early on, you can tell. You can tell normally in the first inning which Dallas Keuchel you're going to get. He was not on his game. He's been hot and cold in the last month or so after really kind of putting it together, getting above 500. How concerned are you about Keuchel heading into the playoffs?
Not very, just because, he blew up yesterday. And if you think about it, there was that one play, I think it was in the fifth inning, when there was a relay coming to the home plate off the bat of Robinson Cano, and we saw a little bit of a mental lapse in Martin Maldonado not following up and trying to tag out Mitch Haniger, which I think if he tags him out, Dallas is out of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
That non-tag turned into two more runs. So Dallas would have gotten out of that inning with three runs, maybe gone into the sixth and qualified for a quality start. So it's tough for me to really bury Dallas Keuchel in the sense that, he didn't pitch his best. Again, that first inning has been an issue for him, but he's always been, in the last 15 starts, I want to say, he's gotten past that first inning, not let it affect him, put up some zeros, allowed plenty of time for his offense to get back in there and do well. But Dallas Keuchel in that first round, if it ended today, Dallas Keuchel would be pitching the third game in Cleveland for me and the Houston Astros, and he's been very good in Cleveland. So I think you've got to look at the matchups and as well as Dallas Keuchel's been going down the stretch. Just one bad play yesterday got him.
Blummer, talk a little bit about the momentum. You hear this a lot where, you want to be on a roll, you want to be winning as you go into the playoffs. And I would love to get a player's perspective that's been there. Is momentum really a thing in baseball?
I don't know if it's actually momentum or if it's, the good vibe or the good mojo. It's just that joy or that happiness that you bring into a series when you're playing well. I don't think that limp, we've seen teams in the past limp into the playoffs and get kind of beat around. It may be a little bit of a wake-up call before they turn things around. But you see a little bit of that in the Astros. It's not complacency. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a little bit of maybe the expectation. They're like, they're not panicking. They're not worried. But they know I have the sense that they feel like they know they're going to win the West. It's just a matter of time, and they're not in a mad rush to go out and do it. And I'm kind of hoping, to be honest, having been in the clubhouse and having been in the booth now and watching this team for a couple of years, is I'm kind of hoping that they're kind of pacing themselves, because you kind of feel that with the way A.J. Hinch is handling the rotation, giving guys a couple extra days off in between starts, and the way he's, you know, kind of massaging some of these scheduled days off for position players around days off. But I expect them to come out of this day off today and really come out hot and heavy and really start trying to drive the ball and put up some runs, make a statement, win the West, and kind of accelerate into the playoffs. Not accelerate before, but kind of accelerate around the turn getting into the playoffs.
Kind of on that note, Blummer, then, you know, you mentioned the day off with Correa getting the night off last night too, trying to give him two solid days to maybe just kind of hit the reset button. But your concerns on him since he came back from the injury, not looking the same, and obviously not hitting the same. And then how concerned are you on that thumb? You were the one that pointed it out in the telecast a week or so back, when that one swing kind of, we knew it's not going to be right till the end of the year, but it looks like it's something that is still bugging him quite a bit at times.
Are you talking about the thumb with George Springer?
Yeah, Springer and the thumb, and Correa just overall. How concerned are you?
Yeah, you know what? The thumb concerns me a little bit with George's, because I think if he doesn't take a good swing and he takes that monster hack and kind of, you know, spins out of his swing a little bit, I feel like it puts a little bit of torque on that thumb. The only thing that is promising about George Springer is that he bounces back pretty quick and he re-engages in the at-bat and still continues to take some healthy swings. So it's basically pitch to pitch, swing to swing for George. And who knows, once you get into the playoffs and adrenaline takes over, sometimes those things kind of, get out of the way of your mind and you focus on the game and you don't worry about them. The bigger concern for me is Carlos Correa. Since coming off the deal with that back injury, I know it might still be nagging him, because back injuries have a tendency to linger. He's a taller guy that plays a highly mobile position at shortstop. There's a lot of bending over. His swing involves a lot of torque and a lot of rotation, which might be affecting him. But on top of that, I think when he's trying to manipulate his swing with certain mechanics, sometimes I think it's a little bit of paralysis by analysis. And I'm only saying that because I think he's thinking so much about his swing that the secondary thought is, which pitch am I going to attack? And if he's not thinking about attack first, I think the swing is going to take a little bit of a beating. And we're seeing that a little bit, because he's indecisive. And when he does decide to go after a pitch that's a very good pitch, he usually misses it or pops it up to right field. So I would actually like Carlos Correa, in the time off that he has yesterday, today, and moving forward in these ball games, is to go out there and just mentally think about a pitch that he can hammer, get those hands ready, and barrel it up, and not worry about the mechanics of the swing. Because sometimes the mechanics of the swing and thinking about it can actually slow things down. And Lance Berkman said it perfectly. He goes, the less I think, the quicker my swing is. And Carlos's swing right now is not quick.
Blummer, I don't know if you saw the comments from John Smoltz talking about baseball and how baseball needs to do something different. But he was talking about the fact that the last couple of World Series have been great, but if there's a clunker of a World Series, baseball's running the risk of losing some fans. Viewership is down. Attendance is down. And his thing was, he said he would like to see a first half and a second half like it's done in the minors, where somebody wins the first half, somebody wins the second half. For example, the A's, 35-19 since the All-Star break. They would basically win the second half. Astros win the third half, and there would be a best of three series between the two to determine who won the AL West. Thoughts on that? I mean, is he onto something here, or is he just crazy?
I agree with him in the sense that, you know, if the playoffs become a clunker and you get some of these low-scoring, high-strikeout-type games where the pitchers dominate, that could discourage a lot of fans. As far as baseball nationwide, I know it's, you know, we look at the NFL and we look at the NBA as far as national, and I think baseball is a little bit different because it's so regional and so concentrated with 81 home games and people being really invested in the local sport itself, as opposed to watching, you know, across the country. I think fans of the NFL have fantasy league teams, so they're going to watch a lot more games out of their time zone, you know, and in the NBA, it's the same way. You have the entertainment value or the way these guys travel around, so they're going to watch games outside. I think there's a little more of an investment regionally for these guys, so I think you got to take it city by city and maybe critique each organization and the way they're run, and that's the issue with viewership, because we saw early in 2011, 12, 13, the Astros had zero viewership because the product was bad and the TV market was bad. Now they're good, and thankfully they're getting a little more coverage and people are watching more. So it's a little more regional for me, but I'm a purist. Man, if you grind it out for 162 games, I like that idea better than giving a team a chance to make a playoffs after 81 games. If you're good late, hey, you showed up late to the party. If you're good early and you fizzle out, hey, you fizzled out and you weren't able to maintain it. I think you need to be able to play 162 games, earn your way into the playoffs, and then start smashing skulls in the playoffs.
All right, ready, Blummer? Here's your fluff to wrap it all up, okay? So we've got an intern here, and he covers a lot of ground for us, but he's a little bit of a free thinker. And so last night on Twitter, people were doing split screens of Barry and myself trying to find our doppelgangers. So I was curious, one, do you have a doppelganger aside from, like, Johnny Bravo?
It's either Johnny Bravo or Max Headroom, if you guys want to go back.
I know, up. Yeah.
that's great.
Okay, because
Kevin Towers, God rest his soul, when I first signed with San Diego,
yeah.
he kept calling me Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
I took that as a compliment, because okay. I'm
a little
not sure
stronger,
anybody else would
bigger
agree
Kevin
it.
Bacon, but yeah.
yeah, so we can much go bigger.
We can go 6 degrees of Blummer at some point. But now here's the thing. He said that I looked like Mike Stanton, and then said, you know that Mike Stanton works with that guy, Bert Crackler, in which we all were completely dumbfounded and went, who the hell is Bert Crackler? He thought Kevin Eschenfelter somehow was Bert Crackler. So your challenge is you can work Bert Crackler in at some point, because we were like, how the hell do you get – I mean, Eschenfelter's not exactly Joe Johnson. And he got to Bert Crackler, so there's your tidbit of the day.
Bert Crackler. Okay, I gotta hold on to that one. That might be a good one.
There you go. We're going to tweet you Bert Crackler.
Please do.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your day off. Take us home with some good broadcasts, as we know you will this weekend with the Angels and then on the road. But that's Jeff Blum. Follow him on Twitter and check him out on AT&T Sportsnet. Thanks, Blum.
No, good being on with you guys. Tune in. There's going to be a clincher here in the next week or so.
There you have it. Breaking news from Jeff Blum. We know it. We're going to see it. We're going to do it. All right, Barry's back from San Antonio, Nick and I as well. We've got more to get to, including a giveaway coming back. Your chance to win right around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know how we like to do it on The Usual Suspects. We like to take care of our suspects with some giveaways whenever we get a chance. Take care of you for taking care of us by listening every day. So with that in mind, some of the great names of tennis in the past are coming here to Houston October the 5th. It is called the Invesco QQQ Tennis Series. It's October the 5th at Rice University and the Tudor Fieldhouse, where the basketball arena will be transformed into a tennis court. And you will see four of the better names in the history of recent tennis. John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and James Blake compete in a unique one-night tournament. You get two tickets if you win the contest, or you can go to Ticketmaster.com and buy them. But either way, kind of neat to see Johnny Mack, James Blake, Courier, and of course Andy Roddick, and if he brings his wife Brooklyn Decker, that's just an added bonus, play some tennis one more time. And at the same time, if you win the tickets here, you're entered into the grand prize drawing to go to the VIP Houston Players Party, which is a full buffet, open bar, Q&A with the players. Sounds like a really awesome event. So we're going to take caller number 10 right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 10 right now, you get two tickets to the Invesco QQQ Tennis Series October the 5th. Good luck.
Get it. Have fun.
There you go, Johnny Mac.
That was good stuff with Blummer. I brought that up because I wanted to talk about it for a minute, but did you see where Smoltz was talking about switching things up? What are your thoughts on that, Joel? I mean,
you know,
you're a baseball guy.
Yeah, I'm a baseball guy, and you know, Barry, if you know, being out at the Skeeters game a week or so ago, I was contemplating it because you know they do that split season where if you win the first season, they split it in half. So if you win the first half, you're automatically in the playoff to get in the playoffs, and then they have the second half.
Well, so I got a message.
Yeah, not me. That was Nick. But the Skeeters won both halves. So I was like, so you advance to the title game? They said no. Then you got to you have one more round. You still have to get through before
you get a bye.
Yeah, you get a bye. So I was like, you know what? Interesting. But Blummer kind of swayed me a little bit because of the fact that it makes sense. We all know it's a 162 game grind, but it really gives you that much more credence to the fact that you're really doing something winning the division or getting in the playoffs when you're able to grind it out, persevere the ups and downs that we always talk about in the long season, and find a way to come out on top at the end. That's a lot easier than getting hot for short spurts because, what, this year you'd have the Astros in the first half, and then you'd have the A's in the second half. And
yeah, but I don't mean to interrupt, but to Smoltz's point, I get what Blummer's saying, and it makes sense in a way, but his point is, no one cares about American League Baseball right now. Like, there's no drama, there's no intrigue. The point that Smoltz was making as far as, like, if you play it in two halves and if you win the first half, then you play the winner of the second half in your division, and that determines the division winner. If you win both halves, you get a bye. But if you think about it, the Tampa Bay Rays have the best record in their division since the All-Star break. They're 35-19, yeah. Same as the A's. Both the A's and the Rays would be in the playoff race. As it stands, the A's are hanging in there for the wild card, but the Rays are out of it. But they're actually played better since the All-Star break than the Red Sox. So how much more fun would that be for the Rays? Same thing with the Cardinals. In fact, the White Sox at 26-30 would still be in the hunt, but the Indians ran away with it long ago. So that whole division has checked out on baseball a long time ago. That's his point, and I do understand it because I'm not necessarily saying that I 100% agree with him, but it would be good to have more interest throughout the year for baseball.
So you know what my rebuttal to that is, of course.
Sure.
You got the wild card.
Yeah, and it's good for, you know, four teams overall, two in each
but the race, you know, for the wild league card, that's why baseball expanded it. They put the wild card in. They gave teams more of a chance, so it's more interesting down the stretch. I think from baseball's perspective, MLB's first rebuttal would be, well, we did that when we added the second wild card.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It makes sense, but I don't know. I feel like
I'm on record to say I just hate the fact that the wild card the two teams that bust their ass just to get in, and they're one and done. If someone's one and done, I hate.
Yeah,
that
should be a three game series.
That's where I'm at for sure.
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's got to be something that they can do though to spice things up to make it a little more interesting for some of these teams because the teams that are playing well in the second half are getting punished. You know, and teams that run away with it early, then they can coast and you lose the fan base.
Because I'll tell you this, Barry, the other thing that I hate is the wild card team that could be very good and very hot and gets that win in the wild card game loses their ace for the next round, so they're basically way behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
That kind of bothers me, too. Give them a fair fight and see who if the hotter team now, even in football, we talk about the wild card that gets in, that's the hot team, can be the team that can run the table. Give them a fair shot at it.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially having that three-game series and you have the rotation and it's a five-day series. The one argument to Smoltz's suggestions, by the way, the one argument was the fact that now you've got to shorten the season to like 154 games in order to compensate for the extra playoff games that each half winner would have. So that's going to take money out of the players' pockets and the owners' pockets, and they're probably never going to go for that. But he brings up some interesting points about the fact that there's got to be things you can do to make baseball more interesting. I got something you could do if you want to make your workout more interesting. Head on over to Vortex. It's Houston's first and only multisensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. I was there a week ago. Guys, it is a great workout. It's so fun, man. It was good to be back in the gym, hitting a heavy bag. Back when I trained Muay Thai, it was one of the best workouts I had gone through. And I got away from that, man. And then when I found Vortex, and they've got these Rumble classes where you go in, and some of those classes are even taught by Olympic boxer Charles Blackwell. So it's not like you're just learning from some dude. And I'll be honest with you guys, man. When I took the class, I was kind of like, having trained, I thought, all right, is this just going to be like where it's just they don't really teach you how to punch. They don't teach you how to box. It's not the case, man. Like, when he's showing you how to throw a jab, he's showing you the correct way to throw a jab. So you're learning some boxing skills while you're getting in shape. Classes are only 45 minutes, so it doesn't take a long time to get in a great workout. Same thing for the spin classes, 45 minutes, and both of them, great full body work. My legs hurt as much from the boxing class as my arms did, and that's how you know you're getting a full body workout when you get out there. It's luxurious, man. The locker rooms are nice. The whole place is outstanding. First class, but it's affordable, man. It's super expensive where you can't afford to take a class. $25 for a spin or a rumble class. $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week, and a monthly unlimited rumble or ride membership for only $195. You can't beat that. And Vortex, man, it's the only spin studio in Houston with three rows of bikes. 48 total bikes, the only one in Houston that's got that. And what I like too is, you know, they're luxurious, they're affordable, but they've thought of everything, man. They even have the little USB ports in the lockers so you can charge your phone. But that way, when you're headed back to the office, you can take care of your business. Your phone's not dead. So it's really cool. And I will say this, I've mentioned this a couple times now, but the scenery at Vortex, not too shabby. The ratio was about 4-1 when I was there. And it wasn't like I had to turn away, because it was nice to be out there working out and enjoying everybody that was at the class with me. And it's cool because you don't need equipment, man. They've got everything for you right there. You just show up ready to work out, and they'll take care of the rest for you. Morning and afternoon classes, and easy to get to right there in Midtown, 1707 West Gray. If you know where the Panera Bread is on West Gray, it's right next to it. Give them a call, guys, 281-501-3094. I want you to get a good workout. I want you to get a fun workout, and I want you to enjoy it. So call Vortex, 281-501-3094. 281-501-3094. Tell them Barry sent you.
ESPN 97.5.